Hello and welcome to It's Your Health. If you've been watching the news or if you live on the East Coast, you know that we experienced quite a storm. I lost power for over a week. I lost phone for more because a tree decided to fall and tear the power right off my house and the phone lines. But I'm back up and running. But I was actually glad for the power outage because I had one very special night with my husband with the candlelight. No, I know what you're thinking, but what I did was I grabbed the wonderful book by Dr. Rob Pennington, Find the Upside of the Down Times, How to Turn Your Worst Experiences into Your Best Opportunities. And I sat and I read him the book and he loved it. And I thought, here I am making the best out of, you know, not the worst time, but still. And Dr. Rob Pennington is with us now. Hello, Dr. Pennington.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
I'm so glad to have you on the program. I absolutely love your book.
Thank you.
It is so positive, and you have been through so much. It is pretty amazing. I mean, first of all...
And still positive.
Yes, that's the thing. See, you were shot, you were audited by the IRS, you had this huge hospital bill, you had a wife with an illness you had to take care of.
There was also a divorce in there, too.
Yes, there's a divorce in there. I tell you, I needed your book years ago when my mother died, and then shortly after my grandfather died, and then shortly after a boyfriend and I of 6 years broke up, and then shortly after my dad remarried, and I was just like, there is way too much stuff going on, and I sort of drowned in my own misery where this book would have helped me, you know, stand up, shake myself off and see the positive. So share some of these experiences.
Well, I think that's the idea, is not that you're going to avoid difficult circumstances at all,
sure,
but it's about how to maybe move on from them quicker.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I talk about is that, you know, thinking positive is only half the truth, that you really have to deal with the reality of the circumstance. And sometimes
exactly.
That's difficult to do. But what I've tried to do in sharing my own challenges is to be encouraging of people that there are small steps that you can take, and no matter what the circumstance, that could lead you towards some opportunities you might not have seen before.
Yeah, well, those steps are great. I love how you talk about in the book, one's first reaction to something bad happening is kind of automatic, but however, your second reaction can be more in your control. If you can talk about that.
Yeah, we don't control our initial reaction to anything. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It's just a habit.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when people get some insight about how they could be different than they have been, and they find themselves still responding in the old way, they kind of beat themselves up. I certainly did. But I've realized that it's not about never responding in the old way. That's why I'm saying it's a habit. It's about recognizing, oh, that's that old habit. That's that old fear. That's that old worry, and learning how to move through it faster. And one of the things that helped me is realizing that worry is kind of like a signpost pointing in a direction I don't want to go.
Oh, I love that.
But if I can just flip it and point it in its opposite direction, something I call the opposite positive possibility, it is always called a goal, something I do want. Now, that doesn't mean I know how to achieve it, but at least I've now started being clear about the direction I want to go in, and I can begin moving in that direction. There was a time when we lost a lot of income in my business. We were doing great. One company wanted to expand their work with us, and we were just clearing the boards to do all this extra work, and then another company bought them and canceled all the contracts. And so that was a pretty big loss, but it forced us to make some changes, and this is important, that we knew we should have been making.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's what happens for many of us. There are things we know we should be doing, but we're not, and usually life forces us to make some changes, and the trick is to how to do that quicker, sooner, faster. So I talk about how to recognize what I call the automatic stress reaction that we all have, and how to move through that quicker to what I call the stress management response, to just relax, breathe, reassure yourself, think positive, look for some humor, and do that in the elementary school lessons in life. You know, what you were describing at the opening of the show, you know, yeah, that wasn't tragic. It wasn't a horrible, dramatic thing that you lost the power, but it was a disappointment. It wasn't what you wanted. It wasn't what you planned. But you used it as an opportunity to create something that might have been less likely otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was
really
wonderful.
Was. Now, another thing that was pretty unlikely is I mentioned you were shot, and I'm sure the listeners are saying, what? So if you can tell us a little bit about that story and what the upside was of that.
Well, that is a challenging one because you wouldn't think there'd be any upside to that. and certainly in the moment it happened, I did not think there was. I mean, I was just walking home from the drugstore, and a car pulled by kind of slow, and driver got out, and I thought he was going to ask directions or something, and he walked around and grabbed me and told me to get in his car, and two other men jumped out of the car, and this is called a stressful moment.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you just, you know, emotions go through you, fear goes through you. But somehow I was able to get out of his reach, and he pulled out a gun, and frankly, I thought he was just going to rob me, and so I had this little movie in my mind about what I'm going to say, what he's going to say, and I said to myself, I'm going to say, what do you want? And he's going to say, give me your wallet, and I thought that would be it. So I just said, what do you want? And without saying anything, he just held the gun out in front of me and smiled and shot me.
That is so insane.
Yeah, and that's the dramatic moment. Now, the miracles also started right then, too, because the bullet hit me in the center of my chest and stuck in the sternum. It did not enter my body. It grabbed my shirt and spun the material of the shirt around the bullet and created wadding around the bullet, and I didn't bleed at all. And it didn't knock me down, and I think it kind of scared the guys, you know, like da-da-da, da-da-da.
Superman. We just shot Superman.
And they turned and ran away, and I turned and went to the first house with a light on and knocked on the door, and the guy who opened the door, get this, was wearing operating clothes.
Oh, yeah.
He was a heart surgeon. And I said, I think I've been shot. And he said, come in. Now, to make a long story short, I lived and with very little damage from the shooting. A lot more from the surgery that they did afterwards to kind of make sure my insides were okay, which they were. But where that became a positive is in my life as a professional speaker. I mean, a speaker wants a dramatic story, ideally one from their own life, and it just doesn't get more than that.
No, it doesn't. I love you called out my signature story.
Yeah, I'm known for that, you know, and I'll be giving a talk about something else, and the meeting coordinator saying, well, make sure you tell your shooting story. And even the opening of the book is, you know, it's a miracle. And even here on this interview, we're talking about
I know, and I'm laughing. I'm sorry. It's not funny.
No,
it's...
but there is a humor side to things. And I think when you do get through the pain, when you do get through the difficulties, you know, that's one of the things that can come is some of the humor and even some deeper sense of love and appreciation. I used to work for the Center for Attitudinal Healing, and we worked with families who had children who had terminal illnesses, and that's about as frightening and painful as it can get.
Oh.
But as we went through all the emotions that everybody was experiencing in the family, what always ended up was just a deeper sense of love and appreciation than they had experienced before. And so that planted some seeds in my mind about how the worst experiences can become your best opportunities. It doesn't mean that that worst experience wasn't bad. It means that there's something that can come out of it. But you have to work at it. You know, you all heard the cliche, when a door closes, a window opens.
Yes.
But what's missing out of that is that when the door closes, often in your face, you got to make a change to find that window.
You are brilliant. That is fantastic. I love that.
You got to turn around. You got to do something different. And the problem is we have such powerful habits that when worry and fear hit us about what's going to happen, we get focused on that, and that's all that we can think about for a while. But I've learned some things that have made a difference in my life in dealing with these difficult circumstances, and I'm sure I'm going to have difficult ones in the future. And the goal is not to avoid those or have a Pollyannish attitude about things, but it's about being willing to be with that experience and learn from it and move on from it and do that as quickly as you can. And in each chapter, I have, you know, a true story about my life and the lesson I learned in that. And then an activity I've designed for the reader to save them time and pain in maybe applying that same lesson to their own life.
Yeah, I love this. You write, Paul Solomon once said, why should I be in a miserable situation and be unhappy? Being unhappy at being in a miserable situation is bad enough.
That's true. And I think, you know, people don't know that they even have that choice, you know, that they tend to actually have a self-fulfilling prophecy of making things worse. I mean, the miserable situation is bad enough. I mean, when my wife had multiple sclerosis, she was diagnosed a year before we were married. So we certainly knew that that was going to be the challenge in our relationship. And as it progressed, it was difficult. And she kept losing more and more abilities, and I kept taking on more and more responsibilities. And that was difficult for both of us. It was difficult for her to let me and others help her. It was difficult for me to adjust to the changes, like, you know, her memory would be less, so we'd talk about something a few minutes later, she'd forgotten we talked about it, and I had to learn, you know, initially I wasn't able to think fast enough, and I'd get upset, oh, we just talked about that, you know, and I had to remember, she didn't know, and I had to learn as a caregiver to be present with where she was in the moment, and oh, okay, now we're going to go over this again, all right, just go over it again. And learn to make the changes in me. And as a result, we developed, I think, an intimacy and a closeness and a love that we hadn't had before. And that just kept growing throughout the whole experience together.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that's what's so great about your book is that you give all these wonderful tips. One that I really love is believe you can even when you don't know how.
Yes.
And you had talked about that you were in the hospital and there was this huge bill. And you're like, somehow this is going to get paid.
I didn't think of that at first. I mean, at first, you know, I was like, oh, my God, how is this going to be paid? I don't have the money to pay this. I didn't have any health insurance. But, you know, learning these ideas over a while, you start to apply them to everything. And I started realizing, oh, you know, my problem right now is I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And I started thinking about the how, and I saw an opportunity that, you know, really the hospital doesn't care if I pay it. They just want it paid. And I thought, well, that's interesting. How can it get paid without me paying it? And I started talking about that, you know, and talking about, well, maybe there's a wealthy relative I have that is about to die or something. And, you know, the funny thing is I did have a wealthy relative who was about to die, but she didn't leave it to me. But but it just was a possibility. Or I remember talking in one of my training programs that I've done for many years about it and saying, well, maybe there's a, you know, a foundation or something. And someone raised their hand and said, there is.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? And it was something called the Crime Victims Compensation Board. And what I've learned is all throughout the United States, in every state, there is this Crime Victims Compensation Board. And what they do is when a criminal's arrested and found guilty, they confiscate all of their stolen goods and money and everything. It goes into a state fund. And if you're a victim of a violent crime, which I certainly was, you can apply. And whatever your bills are, and they paid it. And if I had not had that idea, I would have not have been talking about it, and I don't think I would have found out about it. I still would have been paying the $250 a month is all I could afford to pay on the bill. So
well,
it just helped me.
Thank goodness you were talking about it.
Yeah, understand that principle that the reason we experience stress about a lot of things is we don't know the how. And because we don't know how we're going to solve something or be successful, we tend to think we can't. And really, if you don't know how, which is going to more likely help you figure it out, thinking that you can or thinking that you can't. So the real skill is to practice thinking that you can handle something even if you don't know how, like you're stuck in traffic and I'm late. Oh, my God. Ah. Well, I don't know how it's going to work out, but, you know, I think I'll figure it out as I get there. I'll be able to deal with the circumstance. And if I've been late and I have to apologize, I'll do that. But how many times have we gone through that, gone through all that worry, got there, and we were on time? It hadn't even started.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What are we doing? Practicing being upset?
Yeah, I know.
You know, my guess is...
I know, we all spend way too much time worrying. I know I do.
It's a habit.
And that's why your book is so incredibly helpful. You know, another thing that you talk about, it was so funny because I was trying to quote this to someone the other day and I know I was saying it wrong. Luck happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That expression.
It's just the idea that fortune smiles on the prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yeah... there are lucky things that happen, I think, but a lot of times it's whether or not we recognized it or take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And so we, I think, have opportunities that are there that if we're not looking at them because we're worried, because we're afraid, we wouldn't be able to take advantage of it. And so it does take some preparation. You do have to do the work. When Exxon called and asked if I had any trainings, I had to have enough background and experience to know that the only answer to that question is yes. And take advantage of that. And as a consequence, I received the highest trainer evaluations each year for 29 years. And so was that luck or was that preparation? I think, you know, the luck happens when that preparation meets opportunity.
And yeah, no, it's true. It's fine. The last week I've had two things happen. They're not for sure, but very beneficial for it's your health. I'll leave it at that. But again, I've been really prepared. And I keep thinking, you know, you have to have that preparation behind you. So when the opportunities present themselves, you're ready.
Right. And you do that by just taking steps in the direction of your goal.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know the whole way to achieve your goal, but you might know what a next step is. And in doing that, you could discover what the next step is. Another thought in my book is the difference between a success and a failure may only be that the success tried one more time.
Oh, I love that. That's true. I'm really big on perseverance. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
Well, and here's the exact quote. Persist until you succeed because chance favors the prepared.
Yes.
And, you know, these are nice, positive thoughts, but if you don't put them together with very practical action, they just stay nice thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's why each of my chapters has actions, has activities that people practice. And that's my hope, is that a person will read one chapter and stop and do the activity and let the lesson bubble around in their brain for a couple of days before they go on to the next one, so that it's not just an inspirational read, but it's also a transformational experience.
It really is. For example, in your chapter, Easy Come, Easy Go Not, you talk about stress is resistance to change, and you have what to do, and you have write a short description of some undesirable changes that has happened to you recently, describe what you are resisting about this change, what makes this change undesirable or uncomfortable, and it's great. You have even more questions, but talk about that stress is resistance change.
I mean, if you think about it, anytime a change happens in a direction we want to go, where is there any stress? You know, it's only when it happens in directions we don't want to go that we have this automatic stress reaction of tightening our muscles, holding our breath, having self-doubt, thinking negative, getting serious, etc. And it happens anytime anything or anyone is not the way we want them to be. And it can happen, like I said, in traffic and what I call the elementary school lessons in life, all the little things that happen throughout the day. But if you learn how to apply the second principle I have in the book about the relationship between stress and change, which is stress is a signal a change is needed. And you either make a change in the world, which sometimes is possible, and or make a change in yourself, which is something we all need to be better at being able to do, either one will reduce our stress. And the problem is most people haven't accepted that their stress is theirs, that they think this, it's happening to them rather than something they're doing. And so if you realize that, you know, I actually have something to do with how I'm feeling, unless I have some chemical or neurological damage, that maybe I could learn how to move through quicker. Not about not having it. I don't think that's really possible. And maybe not even desirable, because again, stress is resistance to change. It gives me an idea of where I need to focus that I haven't been attending to, where I need to make a change.
Yeah, you are so inspiring. And again, your book, I absolutely love it. Find the Upside of the Down Times, How to Turn Your Worst Experiences into Your Best Opportunities, Turn Your Worries into Positive Action Plans, Turn Your Fears into Opportunities for Hope and for Help, and turn your life into something better than you thought possible. I read so many books, and again, yours, it just, you, by doing these actions, by doing these lessons, it makes such a big difference. Are you practicing at all as a therapist? I'm like, I might be giving you a call.
You want to know if my client load is open?
My listeners want to know, too.
Well, thank you. More and more, I'm doing executive coaching.
That's what I figured.
Working with leaders and their teams. I'm also doing keynote presentations to conferences and conventions.
Cool.
I'm kind of a ham, like being on stage.
Yeah, but you have great personality, and I love your accent.
Thank you. So I try to work with groups and with individuals, and I've got a blog, UpsideDownTimes.com, to where I've tried to put a lot of information out there, and just climbing that social media mountain to make a lot of what I've been blessed to receive available to others. I put the book out in paperback so it would be less expensive so more people could get it, and it's also available on Kindle and iBooks for like $5 so that, again, it's easy for people to get. I want to just have as many people as possible benefit from the blessings that I've received. And all these ideas that have made such a profound difference for me and maintaining my peace of mind when others are losing theirs or no matter, you know, whatever is happening in my life. And again, I still have upsets, I still have worries, I still get hurt, I still get angry, but just not for as long. And I think that's what's really practical, is that we could learn some tools and techniques, just simple things to practice during the day that could help us move through all this a little quicker. And, you know, the last chapter, I think, puts it even in a more context that everything in life is easier said than done.
That's for sure.
But that's no excuse, because it's easier done than not done.
Yeah.
And so it's just about taking one step, whatever that one step is for you today. And sometimes that might be asking for help. Sometimes that might just be writing down what the goal is. Sometimes that might just be taking a walk and practicing enjoying what it's like outside for a few moments. All of these skills are ones I think we need to deal with the inevitable graduate school lessons that come in our life, in our health, in our career, in our finances. All of us, I think, are going to be challenged at various times in these areas, and I'm trying to provide a support to make that a little easier. So I'm really grateful for you as a professional book reader and
yes,
reviewer and commenter to give me this feedback, because this is my first book. And
oh, it's really great.
My first effort at that to try to see what difference I can make in print.
Yeah, you're making a big difference. Dr. Pennington, if you can give us your website again.
It's robertpennington.com. And from there, you can get information about the book and the blog and my speaking and all of that.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lisa. I've really enjoyed it a lot, and I'll be following you and help myself become healthier.
All right. Yes, a lot of good stuff in the audio archives. Check them out, www.itsyourhealthnetwork.com. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more information, go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com.